I so much stronger than before. I don't wanna wake up from this dream that I have. Cause I know there's something special. I know. Cause everybody talk. When you're moving through the floor, the fire in your eye, so much stronger than before. I don't wanna wake up from this dream that I have. Cause I know there's something special. I know. Cause everybody talk. When you're moving through the floor, the fire in your eye, so much stronger than before. I don't wanna wake up from this dream that I have. I know there's something special. I know.
Cause everybody talk.
When you're moving through the floor, the fire in your eyes so much stronger than before. I wanna wake up from this dream that I have. Cause I know there's something special. I know.
Christian Arkovovich says it's definite car radio music. Just as well, it's featured on the Midweek Drive then, Christian.
Yeah,
yay,
exactly,
fantastic
yeah.
stuff. Michael Young and Talk there, selected by Tessa Snott. And guess what, Tessa, online now from Sweden, it is only Michael Young himself. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good indeed, and delighted you're able to actually join us from Sweden. Whereabouts in Sweden are we actually reaching you today?
I'm in Stockholm, just practicing a little bit in the studio, and yeah.
Now, celebrations about Sweden's result in the World Cup. You won, so great news there.
Oh, thank you. I don't watch football so much, but, you know.
Good man.
I don't know.
I seem to be the only person who doesn't watch football.
Well. So we
everybody's crazy here in Sweden, but yeah.
I mean, we could talk about Henrik Larsson, we could talk about Sven-Göran Eriksson, we could talk about all sorts of things. In fact, actually, Michael.
We could talk about Talk.
Yes.
See what you did there? See what you did there? Exactly. Tessa, would you like to have a few words with the man who first kind of contacted, or in fact his agent actually contacted Sound and Country Vision?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So well done, Victoria, and sent over some Michael Young magic.
She did. She got in touch with me and I thought, well, after listening, I thought, well, I've got to pass his music over to Alex. And didn't Victoria actually manage September? The great.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing,
quite
isn't
big.
It?
Yeah. It's really cool. She's awesome and she's really doing a good work and getting me out there. And she always puts me like first and Pretoria, right?
Prioritize.
I can't speak English that good, but.
That's all right.
If I tried to do this in Sweden, I'd sound like a Muppet. Many people would say, what's no change there then? But, you know, apart from that, Swedish chef, they have a lot to answer for. Michael, you're a young artist, 24 years of age. You're a French and Finnish heritage. You're currently based in Sweden, as we said, in Stockholm. Have you always had a passion for music? Is it something which you've always felt the urge that actually I need to be creative? Because oftentimes we think about the kind of Swedish line, I mean, excluding ABBA, of course, as being somewhat serious, somewhat melancholy, and Come Over is just upbeat, it's bouncy. I can see it being used for Mamma Mia 3, the musical. We'll have words with Bjorn and Benny, Elvis and Anderson. What is it that's kind of motivated you to actually become a musician as your reason for being on the planet?
I think that's the same. Like when I was studying, I felt like, where am I going to go? Like, why am I studying? And why am I doing this? Because I don't want to just have a normal job and I don't want to have those grades because I don't need them. There's something else that I need in my life. So that's when I found the music when I was studying. I started singing a little bit and more people started to tell me like, you have a good voice, you should be like doing this. And then when I started getting up on stage and I was there and it just felt so good. That's the only time I get to relax. And that's why I was like, no, I have to do music, and it's been the best thing that's ever happened because that's what keeps me going as well. I couldn't do anything else than music because that's how I get to talk to people, make people happy, and just be myself on stage, wherever. When I'm off stage, I can be more, a little bit shy, And it depends who I am with, but like in town, I can't go on the subway because I'm scared of going on the subway. But on stage, I'm...
Don't worry, Michael, we'll get a bodyguard for you. You know, it's fine. You know, it's not like travelling in the London Underground. You know, that's this scary.
I can relate to that, though, because a lot of people have said to me, oh, how do you talk on the radio? How do you do that? Because I can be quite a nervous person over a lot of things. So it's funny, isn't it, when you put a microphone in front of you, what you can kind of do and what comes out. So, yeah.
It's the joy of the larynx, the tip of the teeth, the tongue in the mouth. It's the whole sort of system. Christian, any sort of thoughts that you'd like to share with Michael?
Yeah, I was just... obviously, you open coming and I was, you know, just listening to that song and that, and it, you know, it's, you definitely sound like someone who will be, you know, getting bigger and bigger in the future. But I just wanted to ask, what's been the biggest venue you've played so far?
The biggest one, I think I'd say, like, Bingo Lotto. It's like in a Swedish show in Sweden where a lot of Swedish people watch it. And then I had Icon Fest, but that was funnier because it was on a stage, like a real stage, and there was a lot of people. And, yeah, it's just such a rush, you know, on a the bigger stages and stuff.
I was going to say, I've heard of Icon Fest, I think. Or, the name rings a bell anyway. But, yeah, that's fair play. Like.
I'm just responding to Bingo Lotto. I mean, that surely has got to be the ultimate mashup in
Bingo Lotto.
Exactly. You got your lotto, you got your bingo, let's put them together. Bingo Lotto!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to actually introduce that into the newly revalidated public relations degree program. Sorry, I made the decision there, Jason. It's just a bit.
That's fine. We'll be there together. Bingo Lotto.
Yeah.
Only us two, nobody else.
Well, that's true. Now, we're about to listen, Michael, to Come Over, which is written by Jonas Vandenberg, Nicholas Vandenberg, Anu Bhagavan, which collectively, as Tessa rightly said, the team behind the global success artist September. So would you like to just talk us through what we're about to listen to with Come Over? What was the kind of inspiration with respect to this? Because, again, you've produced some marvellous things here, or rather Baron B has produced this. What are we about to listen to?
This Come Over, it's just a... Actually, that's the first song we made. And we've made about 37 songs right now, 38. And that was the first one we made. It was a special thing because that was the first time I was like in a really like in a studio and stuff. So it was really fun and
No pressure, but we're about to put it behind or for the view of our midweek dryer vet trio: Professor Jason Whittaker, Christian Arkabovitz, and Tessa Snart. And Lord knows they can be tough, but if all's well, we're going to come out of this in 3 minutes 15 seconds, totally happy. It's Michael Young. It's Come Over on Siren Radio.
Been so long since my medication, and I'm drowning in the pain, no. Body, soul, there's no separation, and it's driving me insane. Well, now you say it's a revelation, burning holes inside of my mind. Can I get some kind of elevation? Gotta help me pass the time, help me pass the time. Takes a fool to believe in waiting for the obvious to change. I'm in hell, but anticipating that someday it's gonna rain. Someday it's gonna rain. But I'm suffocating, acting like it's all good. Baby got me hanging again. As long as you come over, I don't care where you go. As long as you go.
As long as you come over, I don't care where you go. As long as you come over.
Any song that can connect elevation with medication has to get my vote. I liked it. Christine, what did you make of Come Over, Michael Young?
I liked it as well, yeah. It was good. Again, it was like sort of car radio music. Like, it was really sort of, you can just listen to it and it'll just be there and it'll make the drive easier. Yeah.
It'll make the drive easier. You could use that as a free quote, Michael, I'm sure. Professor Jason Whittaker?
Yeah, that was very pleasant on the ears. It was good to listen.
Good stuff there. And Tessa?
Yeah, it's really go-y and catchy. I could listen to it over and over again.
You can breathe, Michael. Don't worry. It's
Which
all
I
good.
Did. yeah.
Yes, we listened to it at least 5 times to check it's actually met our threshold of quality standards, because there are times where you just think, no. Oh, and Michael, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, sometimes we get sent some stuff which is just very poor. But it is, you know, I mean, fair to say.
Alex, you're going to play one of my tracks if it's the last thing that happens.
Yes, but 1001 Reflections on William Blake. It's a great title, but really. It's,
plays on a squeegee box.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Like Allen Ginsberg.
Oh. Now, it's that beat poetry in the fullest sense.
You obviously never heard Allen Ginsberg singing William Blake. It is one of the most dreadful things known to man or beast. One day we shall play.
I take that not just as a challenge, yes, but as a statement of co-creative collaboration for times to come. So great stuff there, Michael. Fantastic. When do you actually next go out on tour? When you're performing? How can we connect with you? Good self through social media and so on.
I want to go on tour. We're planning on it right now, so I can go out and just sing to people because that's the best. And then you can find me on Facebook, on Spotify, on Twitter, whatever. Just type Michelle Young, not with an A. So it's not Michael. It's Michelle.
Michelle, you have just actually sort of been just demonstrated your total Swedish politeness, because there were we constantly referring to as Michael. It's Michelle. Michelle.
We did discuss this though before, didn't we? We did think, but we weren't too sure.
It's okay that people say Michael, but. There's a lot of people that don't find me, like, because they write Michael and then it gets
Exactly. Yeah. You know, they put that extra A in. No,
it's just an E. Yeah.
I should have chosen another word, like a name, but whatever.
No, that's your name.
Exactly. You've got to work with it.
I did type in Michael Young earlier on before the interview, and it comes up with a philosopher who was born in like 1908. Yeah.
It's not the right one.
That was me.
A man of many talents.
And that's the reason why we say, for goodness sake, don't use Wikipedia as a source of your essays. You know, you have that unstructured system. It's astounding. Michelle, it's been fantastic connecting with your good self. Have you enjoyed your last few moments on, I won't say the planet Earth, because there's lots more to come. Don't worry.
It's been amazing.
It's only going to happen. Although that'd be an interesting reflection, and one day perhaps we'll use that. But has it been good for you, Michelle?
Yeah, it's been great. I've been loving talking to you guys as well, and it's been really fun. You guys are great. You're easy to talk to, and it's just so polite and funny. You guys, I want to sing for you sometime. That would be great if I could.
We will look forward to that. It happened with Carrington McDuffie. It happened with Chloe Rose. We'll get
you on Sound and Country
Michael Young
as well.
In the studio, Sound and Country Vision, and more. So I take it then you will return?
Of course. Anytime, guys. Just call me, and I'll be in.
Round of applause, please, for Michael Young. Yay!
My sweet Lord.
opened up to a whole new audience with Guardians of the Galaxy 2, George Harrison, and of course the classic My Sweet Lord, quite rightly so too, and My Sweet Lord. If we look back at Wednesday, oh, actually, the Midweek Drive of 2015, actually, back in December 2015, we see a lineup there of Tessa taking centre stage, Catacore, Sue Royce, Eva MacDonald, who's on duties today at the Lincolnshire Show, Nick Elliott, of course, and Claire Margerison.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Hello.
Yay. Now, in that time, Claire, I believe, if memory serves, back in 2015, you just completed a science fiction module with myself at the University of Lincoln because you were an English undergraduate there, were you not?
That's correct, yes, all those years ago.
And we said, come on to the Midweek Drive, share that wonderment, and you did. You became an authentic Midweek Drivette. And then you decided to do postgraduate study after graduating a fantastic degree result from the University of Lincoln. And you said, no, Lincoln has been blessed with me from the joys of Harrogate with my German parentage for too long. I'm going to check out the joys of the University of Kent at Canterbury to do my master's.
Yes. Down in the south.
Well, somebody has to. And, of course, your punishment for that was having a single which was so bad, frankly, we could barely feature you ever again on the programme, basically, because there was just no connection at all on that system.
It was awful. It was a really bad time. I could not call anybody. It was horrific.
We thought, but as with all Midweek Drivettes, all we'll say is, we'll move to an area which has a better signal. So you've now moved to Oxford, or just south of Oxford, and you graduated, obviously, from it. And what was your master's in, Claire?
It was very ambiguously named the Contemporary, but it was a contemporary literature and culture, essentially, master's.
So an MA in the Contemporary.
Yes, it sounds very fancy.
In any way, shape or form, did the words Love Island or Bingo Lotto or Danny Dyer with an I emerge in that particular...
Or Danny Dyer with a Y.
No, thank goodness not.
Right, so the market's still open there, basically,
absolutely.
Jason. I think,
we can...
A little bit of market research.
You can get all those mixed together in the Hadron...
Yes, quite likely. Cocktail.
Yes,
exactly.
The Hadron cocktail.
Exactly. A kind of heterozygosity of wonderful meanings. Yeah. It's fair to say that when we booked Claire for this show and she saw the running order, she said, what? Tessa Snart and Professor Jason Whittaker, she was almost beside herself with joy.
I was so happy.
I was so excited, Claire. I've not spoken to you in, oh gosh, a year, isn't it? A year or two.
Yeah, it's probably 2 years since we saw each other, though.
2 years,
I graduated 2 years ago this year.
I remember saying, I don't know what I'm going to do without you on the Midweek Drive.
Yeah. Well, you coped, Tessa.
I've coped. I have coped.
Exactly.
You were always there in spirit, Claire.
Precisely.
Oh, obviously.
We used to actually have a cardboard cutout, which we put in the room of the studio, so that's Claire Margerison.
And Emma and Mary. You're all there.
Emma Tess, I mean, your Midweek Drive, that's always part of the whole package. Think of what you can look forward to, Christian. Your own cardboard cutout.
I'm hoping for a memorial when I leave or something like that. A statue outside.
Okay. We need some more construction work at the University of Lincoln because, let's face it, there's just not enough going on, I feel. Since, of course, you were here, Claire, and it's high time you returned, we have not one, not two, two brand new lifts. So we've got three lifts in the soon-to-be-renamed Tennyson building. And, that's great. Sometimes all three actually work simultaneously as well. It's great.
Sometimes one of them works.
Exactly.
It's great.
So great stuff there to actually come back to the whole sort of sequence. But what...
I mean, Alex, in 2 years there's been some lifts.
I'm building to the next open day, Jason.
We have lifts in our buildings.
Exactly.
Welcome to the Contemporary.
For all, everybody.
So you've been listening to part of the production. Claire, where would you like to take us? We might indeed be joined by Phil Leonis if he decides to Skype in. Who knows with Phil what'll happen? He might have said, no, Claire Margerison, I don't recognise her at all these days. Don't worry.
Just completely disappeared.
I guess,
I thought it was quite interesting you guys having someone on from Sweden. And there was a bit of talk about language barriers and missing A's. So I've been working on some language learning books in my new job. And it's been extremely interesting to see how dense grammars can be. And I don't mean like boring, but how big and how much goes into learning languages. And I have a whole new respect for anybody who chooses to like learn a language and particularly learn English. Because it seems like a bit of a nightmare, really.
Mm. So share with us, Claire, what is your job title? What can we actually add to the list of wonderful areas of employment that graduates of the University of Lincoln can get involved with? What are you currently involved with doing?
I'm an editorial assistant for the language learning books and audio engineering books at Routledge.
Excellent. I've got a book I've got to submit to Routledge in September, so I'm currently doing a title with them.
Well, I sit opposite the literature editor, so
this is for,
let
this
me know,
is for
Jason.
This is for journalism, so, but yeah.
Oh, very nice.
I've done quite a few books with Routledge now. They're good. They're a great publisher.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. A lot of fun. And it's quite funny, because I do remember sitting in that studio thinking it's all I wanted to do when I finished university, and it felt so far away.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
We like to feel that we make dreams come true on Siren Radio. And those are just a case in point, really. And indeed, you know, likewise with respect to the Midweek Drive and, of course, the degrees of journalism, public relations and communications, and English. At the University of Lincoln. It's all right, I left that pause there just for the effect.
What do we do again?
It's all there. Yeah, the School of English and Journalism at the School of Lincoln.
I love that. It's kind of some obscure name of a 1960s science fiction actor that nobody else has heard of, but what do we teach?
Sometimes we just work through that. Claire, have you got any questions you want to put to Professor Jason Whittaker or Christian, or any advice for Christian as he just begins to have that threshold as heading from first year to second year and so on? It's entirely up to your good self.
Oh, gosh. Have anybody been reading any good books lately? I'm always looking for new recommendations, and I have more time to read now that I have finished studying.
Well, I'll throw one in straight away with respect to an author who was actually on the Midweek Drive recently. It's called Dead Girls, and it's by Abby Tartington. It's well worth it. A relatively new author, but a book that will certainly make you think from a number of different perspectives, really, from that point of view. So Abigail Tartalin, let's get the name right. So Abigail Tartalin, Tartelin, and it's Dead Girls. There, I've done my little piece from that perspective. Thanks. Christian, any books you'd recommend for
Claire? When you asked, I was just trying to think, but when you said Dead Girls, there was I read one, Gone Girl, which was... There's a good film out for it as well.
Yeah,
but
there was indeed, starring, I believe, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
As far as I recall, was that Gone Girl? I think.
It was someone else. I can't remember who it was though now.
We'll use our devices to
access
the
word. Rosalind something.
Oh, we could have Rosalind Pike, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yeah.
One's British. One's
yeah, and I ended up reading the book afterwards, and that was quite good.
Oh, thank you. I haven't read that. I've seen the film, but I haven't read it, and I've actually been meaning to. It's probably like being in Lincoln.
Well, yeah, all manner of wonderful things from that point of view. Jason, any texts you'd recommend?
The book I'm reading at the moment, which I absolutely love, is by an Argentinian novelist called Marcos Aguinas, and it's called Against the Inquisition, and it's set in 17th century South America about a Jewish heretic who he is... tortured and abused by the Spanish Inquisition, which unfortunately brings for certain people brings all sorts of terrible puns of nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects
it. It's an absolutely brilliant historical novel.
Nobody expects Phil Leonis to actually sort of have Monty Python the Holy Grail as his number one movie. But Phil Leonis, welcome to the Midweek Drive. All being well, you're live in Los Angeles connecting with Claire Margerison. It's been many a month since last you spoke to the Margerison-less, but now is your opportunity. How are you, Phil?
I'm great, and you're right. Nobody did expect me to have that as my number one movie, and indeed I did not. So everyone who expected me not to have it was right. You know what? Claire was talking about how she's editing a book on learning, I think, languages. And at that point, she had apparently said too many things that the U.S. government is against, namely learning English, reading books, editing books, and or editing in general, and so the signal was lost. The siren from signal was lost. So that's why I call in at that moment, because I desperately wanted to find out what Claire has been up to. And of course, the first thing I hear is the phrase 17th century heretic, which I can only imagine means that you're talking about the latest Marvel comic book movie. But anyway. Claire, how are you? What are you editing? What book are you editing?
I'm really well, thank you, Phil. It's been a very long time. I have been working on a lot of Chinese language books recently. I've also been working with some on the sort of audio engineering side of things. I've been working with an author called Richard Ames, and he has interviewed people who used to do tours of like music tours, and he's like worked with like Genesis and Rolling Stones. And I'm just sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, how did I get in a position to talk to these fantastic people? And it brings in all my skills I learned on Fire and Radio.
And your check will be in the post for that one, Claire.
Thank you, thank you.
Well, that's terrific. And it does explain why your signal was lost while you were talking about it, because we have a tariff on all Chinese goods right now in this country. So there you go. It's part of the trade war. It's part of our global trade war.
And just a quick hello to any CIA Pope people who are actually out there, because we'd like to feel it's for you as well, basically. So if you're actually at Langley, Virginia, and you're tuned into the Midweek Drive, well...
Wait for those clicks on the line.
Exactly. And just...
I don't want to take up Claire's time, but you've got to let me tell you a very funny CIA story involving two very funny CIA stories involving my fiance Lily's mother. So I'll share that later. But I've got to know, Claire, you're using all these skills that you learned there at the University of Lincoln, that you learned at Siren FM and working on the show. Did you expect that you would be so soon putting all of this to use?
No, I actually didn't. I mean, I didn't expect that I would necessarily have much time off after finishing uni, but I didn't expect to be able to. I handed my dissertation in for my master's on the 25th of August, and I started my new job 4 days later. And that was a bit crazy to do. But I was very lucky in that I managed to, I mean, so for my job, I interviewed with three different editors before like finally getting this job. But I was really lucky to kind of manage to get in touch with the editor I now work with, Andrea Hartill, who is just fantastic. And I think it just is trying again and again and again and applying and applying and applying, and you eventually, hopefully, get where you want to be.
You know, luck, it has been said, is the residue of hard work and design. So there's something to be said for, we call it luck because much of it is out of our control. But if we control what we can, which is doing the work, doing really sometimes hard work and doing it diligently, and then also presenting the best sides of ourselves forward, those are the things we can control. And when we do those things, it's amazing how lucky we can get.
There's a phrase I particularly like, which is inspiration can come at any moment, but it must find you writing. So, yeah, just putting in the work and then taking advantage of that luck when it transpires.
That's almost as good as the phrase making the drive easier.
Yeah.
Which I heard earlier in the show, and which I want to have made as T-shirts for Siren FM.
That would be good.
It's a way forward. You're listening to Motivational Thoughts from a filmmaker, a scholar, and more on Siren Radio.
The posters will be following.
Exactly. And just in case you thought, oh, I bet they've forgotten the old Harrogate days.
Finally, the citizens of Peterborough and Harrogate can rejoice with the legendary Tessa Snart and Claire Margerison as regular co-presenters on the Midweek Drive.
Aww. Aww.
That
black
isn't it?
I mean, tempted initially, do we delete Claire Margerison? No! Exactly. No,
men us! God. Why did you even think that?
Do we re-edit?
No.
But
I mean, it's funny you say that. So where I sit at work, when I started, a girl opposite me, who I have never met before, she is from Harrogate too, and she lives down the road from me. And a girl has just started 2 weeks ago who is also from Harrogate.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and one day, Tessa, you will travel to Harrogate as well for either the flower show, the autumn flower show, the spring flower show.
Yes.
Shifting on slightly, Claire...
Wait a second. Let's not shift on slightly. Shift on so quickly from that. That's actually spooky. That's the beginning of a Stephen King novel.
Yeah. They came from Harrogate. Yes.
Where they were watching Bingo Lotto.
I woke up and my wife had been replaced by someone from Harrogate.
That was a 1987 novel, I think. Yes.
That was spooky, wasn't it?
It just comes in the least scenario. Before we find out Phil's CIA words and various other things, by the way, are you okay to stay with us, Claire? Because I think we're okay to keep you on the line, if that's all right. It's a bit like old times, really. So that's good news. Yes, my point about the shows. I don't think, Claire, you have managed to make the Lincolnshire show. I know we did some work together on the Great Yorkshire show, but you never quite managed to make the Lincolnshire show, or did you?
No, I didn't. No, not in my time there.
But you did do the Great Yorkshire Show, so have you got any advice for day two of this show, which, as I said earlier, for our stateside listeners, is probably the equivalent to the State Fair? I'm, of course, working on the premise that when Phil Leonis and Lily Holloman finally tie the knot next year, maybe a honeymoon in Lincoln should be actually seen as the way forward. I mean, after all, it's exotic, it's glamorous when you're actually just outside historic downtown Hollywood. Clearly, Jason, there's no other place to come to than the University of Lincoln for your honeymoon. I think there's mileage there.
We have talked about visiting the UK at a honeymoon. One of us would love to do that. The other one of us, I mean, I'm not going to mention names. One of us, Lily, prefers warm weather and sandy beaches. So
we
maybe
have
we're...
sandy beaches.
Yeah, we've got Skegness. We've got a whole range. I mean, there's nothing else. I mean, I say Skegness just as David J. Howe and Sam Stone actually wave at us outside the whole thing. They're off to powder their nose now. Obviously, too much information there. But, you know, they're gearing up on that sort of system, psyching themselves up for another edition of the Stone Tapes, which will actually go out tomorrow night, all being well.
That was great. Like, there was this sudden urge to defend the warm, sandy beaches of the UK, and even Alex couldn't buy that. Quickly change the subject to the Stone Tapes. That was terrific.
Well, you know, so much as, although having said that, and I'm taking Claire's point of view here, Saltburn, and you were up there recently. Ties in with Torquay and Hawaii, because surfers paradise in all three instances. Surfers of Hawaii.
Maybe we can all convince Lily. After all, you'll be pleased to know that the song we've selected for her when she walks down the aisle at our wedding ceremony is going to actually be Allen Ginsberg singing William Blake.
Although, why? It's one of the worst albums
Take that, Meghan Markle. This is quality.
You know what, though? I need to track it down because the man that we hope will perform our ceremony is a renowned William Blake scholar. So it would be fun if I could find that and at least as a joke at the rehearsal. You know, we put that on.
I was doing something last week with the BBC, and there were four Blake scholars in the studio, and they played some Allen Ginsberg, and every one of the Blake scholars just cringed and tried to crawl under the table. Why do you play this particular piece of music?
Is this song a running gag? Because I feel like I've missed out on something.
Yeah, well, I feel like I'm missing out as well.
Everybody in my life feels
the same. It's running gag.
It's what you call a kind of open narrative trope, effectively, which we'll probably return to a bit like an episode of a J.J. Abrams Lost series, which is...
J.J. Abrams.
Does that make it clear?
J.J. Adams. No,
to quote the TV series, I'm lost.
Yes.
You know, Alex, if we can shift gears to kind of an interesting little thing about one of the other songs, one of the songs you did play, one of my favorites, of course, George Harrison's My Sweet Lord, and you mentioned how it was reintroduced to a new generation thanks to Guardians of the Galaxy 2. You neglected to mention that thanks to Guardians of the Galaxy 2, the chiffons got a huge royalty check since they earn every dime off the publishing rights for My Sweet Lord since George Harrison lost the lawsuit having stolen that song from the chiffons. He's so fine. Remember? Yes,
of course so. Eunice Gayson, Phil, we forgot to mention last week, of course, in our own version of we don't lose many midweek drivettes, but when they go up to Heaven FM, you know, they go. Eunice Gayson, of course, the first ever Bond girl, Sylvia Trench. I sent you a little link there. Did you have a chance to listen to it? Will you be giving a mention to Eunice Gayson and her time? Obviously, it's more than just the first ever Bond girl, but she did a whole range of other things as well.
Well, yes. No, I did not I did not get a chance to check out the link, and I hadn't known. I appreciated getting it because I hadn't known that she was it working now in Heaven FM. Mm. But we will definitely mention, we're going to be recording a new chill pack this weekend, and we'll definitely mention it. And indeed, you know, it's such an interesting story because she was really being thought of as someone who's going to be a recurring character. Absolutely. In those Bond films, and was really good. She was really good.
The whole sequence was that she would have actually stayed as the recurring girlfriend for Bond up until On Her Majesty's Secret Service, when they would have wed, and effectively she would have died in as tragic a scene as obviously Tracy, Countess, played by Diana Rigg, actually performed in the George Lazenby epic On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yeah.
Claire, I'm going to offer you the role now of really, is it chance? Is it the cosmos? Where are we going to go? I've got a selection of Paul Weller songs, and I would like you to make a decision in terms of this little music audio punctuation point in terms of which one you want to go for. You may never have heard of any of them. That really doesn't matter, as Jason demonstrated in the first part of the programme with respect to Carrington McDuffie. It's just, it was there, went sonar, etc. So the titles are Broken Stones, Fly on the Wall, Have You Made Up Your Mind, Hung Up, Changing Man, or You Do Something to Me. Where do you want to go, Claire Margerison?
Have You Made Up Your Mind, I think.
That's what I was hoping you would say! I was... Oh, see, there's no such thing as luck.
The smoke is running through your hair. There's a look in your eyes. See a glint of smile on your face, but I know that smile ain't mine. How a fool begins, how a fool begins. They say everything has a place and time, but this ain't one of those times. I feel there's something in the air. Just don't know what, don't know why. What a fool I've been. What a fool I've been. You made up your mind.
Made up your mind.
Have you made up my mind for me?
Made up your mind.
Have you made up your mind?
Made up your mind.
Have you made up my mind for me? Morning comes. I feel it in my bones. Just don't know where my feet will go. What a fool I've been. Oh, what a fool I've been. Time and place for everything, but this ain't one of those times. What a fool I've been. Oh, what a fool I've been.
You enjoy that, Phil Leonis?
That song is so outstanding, I don't even have words.
Did you enjoy it, Claire Margerison?
I did very much, yeah.
That's great. We've made two people very happy. That's very good indeed. Phil, who do you want to talk to? Christian Arkabovitz, because normally you just listen to Christian clearly on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, where it's midnight in Los Angeles, so it's a rare treat for Christian to actually see, you know, listen to you in person from that, which is great, you know, nice, bright, sparkly. 10:42 a.m. Los Angeles time.
Oh, I didn't realise it was midnight when I speak to you on a morning.
That's one planet, different time zones.
Yeah.
It's strange. I say the same thing about sunglasses.
You've just been mansplained.
You told me there would be no science on today's show, Alex. Okay. Actually, could I just share one of my CIA stories?
Please. We need to
know. One's too scary for you before bedtime. I could tell it on the morning edition, but one's too scary. The other one's very funny, which is Lily's mother, you know, loves going to new restaurants, and we would go to many restaurants, and she would always, you know, give me these articles about them because, you know, you can't just enjoy the food. You have to read about them first. And she said to me that it's, you know, it's amazing. People don't realize this, but most people, it seems, who open up really good restaurants are former CIA operatives. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, didn't you read the article? I said, yes. And she said, well, it's in all the literature everywhere you go. And finally, one day we went to a restaurant, and sure enough, there was a bio of the chef. And sure enough, it said in there after leaving the CIA. And then the next restaurant we went to, it said a graduate of CIA. And finally, I said, Betsy, you do realize that all of these are referring to the Culinary Institute of America, right? The most prestigious. And she said, what's that? So, yeah, there's she thought she was on to something good, like knowing that spies make the best chefs.
I could see a series possibly developing out of that. We might have to work it a little bit. But if we called it Bingo
CIA.
Lotto, exactly.
CIA chefs.
Yes. Chefs with chefs in action. There's a number of ways for it. I mean, I'm sort of percolating the thing through. I'll put it under the. I'll file it under possibilities.
Oh my goodness! I've got the ad line for it too. By the way, it's they snack on danger and they dine on death.
Amazing.
Wow.
Well, that's our retirement plan sorted out. I think we can actually move on. Also, get Arthur Weingarten to produce and a result. That's fantastic stuff there. Claire.
Had Arthur worked with Eunice Grayson?
No. No, I don't think so. Oh. No, I think Eunice was more. Okay. He did a lot of work, obviously. Eunice, she did a lot of work with The Saint and Roger Moore and a variety of other things, but I don't think they actually worked together. Still, okay. it just sort of motors on through. I have to point out that Eva MacDonald sends her best to you, Claire, because she was also at the Lincoln Show today. So, way forward. Oh, Eva, it's great. And who now do you wish to turn to for Leonis in what is your part of the programme to effectively take us through the remaining 600 English seconds of the midweek drive?
I don't know. Everybody tell me what I missed the first half hour of the show. What was your favourite part?
Christian.
Favourite part of
the show. This one.
He's gone. He's gone.
I know we started off this morning back at...
I thought we were talking about the Lincolnshire
8
show.
8 a.m. You can mention so that as well. The Lincolnshire show's on tomorrow morning, so it's great,
it's like I've lived a week and a day. I don't know, you've caught me. It's been a very long day.
What was that you said earlier? It's the first time you've seen 5:30 a.m.
Yeah. I thought there was only one in a day. to be honest, all of it, and also most of the day as well, with it being my first Lincolnshire show as well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So it has been a good day. I have enjoyed myself.
Good. Result from that point of view. Tessa?
Well, the first part of the programme, we had the lovely William Coles on, and I got asked a series of two questions, didn't I? That was interesting. And then we've had Carrington.
I'm still considering whether to contact my lawyers as a result of those questions.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I can't wait.
You're
going
to have to listen back, Phil.
Yes. I can't wait for the podcast form.
Then we had Carrington McDuffie on with more about her UK tour. She was really good, and we listened to her song My Little Guitar. And what was the other one we listened to? I can't quite remember the title. I think
Sonar.
You picked that. Yeah. And then we had Arthur Weingarten on, so it's been a good show. We've had a good lineup. And Michael Young. Michelle Young. Michelle Young. He's a Swedish singer.
I know, and how sweet that he didn't correct you for the longest time.
And then how
great that after correcting you, Alex still called
Michael. It's difficult because we've had it in our heads
He's just like that.
Well, we didn't want to say Michelle in case it was. We were kind of in the same boat, weren't we?
So tempted to go into Michel Mabel's song, yeah. Les Mots qui vont très bien ensemble.
We did discuss it, didn't we, though? I said it could be Michelle.
It could be Michel, it could be Jim.
But it's just with an E. So that's how you
back know. On May the 4th, 2012, you can see the last time Phil Dearness was in Lincoln. That's Phil Dearness actually
uh-huh.
in
Lincoln. I like your hat, Phil. Yeah,
it was a very impressive hat from that perspective alone. And indeed, we'd probably sort of find a time when he was actually in the studio. We took him up to actually see parts of Lincoln he'd never actually encountered before. In fact, yes, that's him with one of our, with Ian, who's doing various other things. I don't know who the chap is who's actually holding a copy of The Truth Is Out There, but you've seen the movie.
I have. I literally loved it.
Exactly. And The Truth Is Out There too. Ancient Mysteries is also there. So as you can see there, Jason, Phil has actually sat in this very chair.
Excellent.
Very good indeed. Oh. Although that was actually...
When was that? Yeah.
The truth may be in the Siren Studio, May the 4th. May the 4th, 2012.
Wow.
May the 4th be
was
with
it
you.
Really? Was it really Star Wars Day?
It was indeed.
I didn't realize that.
Well, exactly. I know, it just passes like a ship in the night. And I think that means that with 6 years having passed since you were last over on this side of the Atlantic, it's time you actually sort of returned.
Returned, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really strange because I was, I was told there'd be no math, but that means I was 44 years old then, which is really strange. Which is really strange because I'm about to turn 40.
There you are. Exactly. It's the time warp effect of the Midweek Drive.
Well, visiting Lincoln keeps one young.
There we go.
Wherever you come from, welcome home. That's the strapline you will see if you come to the University of Lincoln, the home of Siren Radio. Quite frankly, it's there. It's a selection. It's there. And I always feel it's a little bit of heartwarming nation there. Some people might say heartburn.
I feel like ever since I tuned in, this whole show has been all about creating either bumper sticker slogans or fortune cookies, quite frankly. I don't know which. But there's been a lot of great turns of phrase.
I'm still trying to think of CIA-themed food. Like, I've been thinking about it for a while in my head. MK Ultra Couscous and stuff like that.
I think personally, that is my personal favourite, because I think that shows Phil in action, in fact, from that point of view. Phil Linus on the bridge, as I entitled that. That's where he actually sort of almost gets his hands on the controls there. And, you know, letting an American take control of the controls can be a bit risky, as many world leaders are finding out. But it's all good, you know? It's good stuff there.
Good picture.
Okay, Jason, any final closing thoughts from your good self? Any William Blake moments you'd like to sort of share as we begin to wrap up a programme which is featured the Lincolnshire Show, the worlds of science fiction, well, sort of, certainly the fantasy music paradigm and drama music and longevity.
Any William Blake thoughts? The one that's on my mind at the moment, I've just completed a book on Jerusalem, the hymn that defines Englishness, and during that time I've actually, one of the best things that I encountered was a writer who's not encountered much anymore, J.B. Priestley, who's best known for An Inspector Calls.
Time and the Andersons.
Time the Conways. He published a book in the 1930s called English Journey, in which he went round the English Isles by coach, which not a lot of people did, going to places like Coventry, which still not a lot of people did. And at the end of it, however, he comes up with this vision of England where he kind of went out on this vision, a view of England, of the old England. Everybody knows castles and cottages.
The England of Claire Margeris.
Exactly.
And her German grandmother.
And against that, there was the 19th century, the kind of Dickensian dark satanic mills of all the towns grim up north, etc. But he said there was an England he didn't expect in the 1930s, which was the modern England, which was actually the Americanization of England. And he didn't mean this as an insult, but it was, you know, it was the beginnings of motorways, of transport cafes, of petrol stations, of Woolworths, etc., etc. An England which, ironically, most people such as myself growing up in the 60s and 70s, but we thought was archetypally English.
Exactly.
But in the 1930s, this was entirely new.
And as I once said in a lecture to a group of media students on photography in the Picture Post, it was upon such work that J.B. Priestley built on that led us to the whole notion of that definition of Englishness and so on.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
I think I... I think I remember, Jason, you giving a paper at the English Research Seminar about Jerusalem.
Yes, that was in the 19th century, so, yeah. It's
It seems like only yesterday, folks, for political point of view. Yeah. But actually, it was
actually a couple of hundred years.
Yes, exactly.
I aged well.
Very much so. So there we have it, Phil, an interesting juxtaposition of thoughts, views and various other factors. You need not worry about tomorrow morning and midnight in Los Angeles, unless you'd like to tune in to our coverage of the Lincolnshire Show Day 1, because the 2 hours tomorrow morning, whilst Christian and Shaylee and Chloe and myself will be doing various things at the Lincolnshire Show 2018 Day 2, the 134th Lincolnshire Show. So we're working our way through that whole process, which is very good. Although there's an interesting fact that we discovered today. I think Christian was equally surprised as I was, that actually electricity was first used to resuscitate hearts in the 17th century.
Yeah, I remember.
From the St. John Ambulance people. Long before Mary Shelley, and it's 200 years since, of course, she came up with Frankenstein and modern Prometheus, actually did that. It was in the 1770 period where a young 3-year-old girl was actually, her heart was re-stimulated by electricity.
Wow.
Which was very wonderful on that sort of basis.
I didn't know that.
And the fact that the St. John Ambulance people in the days pre-petrol engines used to basically use the equivalent of wheelbarrows to kind of shift their people around.
Oh, yeah, that was another shock as well.
And that's what you can learn at the Lincolnshire Show. Tell me you don't want to experience that next year, Phil Leonis, and I will say, I do not believe you, sir. I do not believe you. Or indeed, Lily Ollimon, etc. Phil, it's up to you. Would you like to go round the team and, as head boy, do the usual sort of farewells and all the rest of the bits and pieces, as we thank certainly William Coles, Carrington McDuffie, Arthur Weingarten, Michelle Young, Claire Margerison, of course. In fact, you need to ask those last two questions to Claire, otherwise her agents will be in touch from Routledge and we say sorry if you want Claire Margerison to appreciate. She needs those last two questions. Phil, over to you, please.
Claire, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us here on the Midweek Drive?
I have, very much so.
And can we look forward to connecting with your good self again in the hopefully not too distant future?
I hope so, yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
I mean, that was equivalent to the sort of the ultimate end of Love Island, really. I mean, you could actually sort of fade out now, and it's done and dusted, really. Oh. You know, Claire's connector, it's joyous, you know, in all sorts of ways, though. Okay, Alex, yes.
We have one important bit of business that I don't want to leave to the end when everybody's rushed and everybody's panicking and trying to figure it out. It seems to me that you've already authored the perfect sign-off for today's program. And maybe every program hereafter, the one-word expression bingo lotto, I think, is a great way. Am I saying that correctly?
I think, as spoken through the words of a Californian citizen who has Norwegian connections, bless those fjords and their marvellous ways. That was pretty much what I might even clip that in the same way as we've actually clipped a Chloe Rose Happy Trails number, which probably won't be running out at the stage, but yeah, very much so. Okay, Phil, 2 minutes to actually go before we'll be heading after the news with Panic at the Disco and Say Amen, bracket Saturday night, close brackets. It's going to be fun. Would you like to just thank the team, Phil Leonis, and do that usual line with Jason, with Christian, and with Tessa?
Wow. Well, I was very impressed, starting with Tessa, with her recount of the highlights of the show. In fact, she should really be doing my director's notes on the program each week. Tessa, always a delight.
Thank you, Phil.
Christian, good to hear your voice, and I'm glad that you've figured out that... yes, the time in Los Angeles is different than the time in Lincoln.
There's something to wrap my head around.
He's only just getting to grips with 5:30 a.m. in England. So.
This is what we mean about a broad liberal education. Is it? Alex, and finally, Jason, yes. More William Blake stories, please.
Absolutely.
We can never have too many.
I've actually just recorded a show on William Blake, The Madness Music, which is going to be going out every month. So,
is that true?
Yeah.
How does one find it?
It's going to be on the Simon website, so it's just being edited at the moment. But yeah, there we are. I intend to do it once a month.
We will promote that. We might even share it through other websites as well, just to prove that the cross-promotion does actually occur in a wonderful way. And just in case you thought, have you missed out on Chloe's Ident? She, of course, said 2 weeks ago...
Happy trails!
There we are. But as you rightly said, Phil, we have come up with a one-word denouement for the programme, which effectively takes us round to the news in all sorts of ways. It is indeed that awesome game, which we've sort of worked our way through that, based on a Swedish television show, because let's face it, there's no such thing as an original idea in the world today. It's Bingo Lotto. So after three, Professor Jason Whittaker, Christian Arkabowicz, Claire Margerison, and Tessa Snow, and Phil Dearness, can we say that magic word? A one, two, three.
Bingo Lotto!
Oh, waiting for somebody else to carry me. There's nothing that's there for me at my door. All the people I know aren't who they used to be. And if I try to change my life for more day, there would be nobody else to save. And I can't change into a person I don't wanna be, so